morning, everyone. Continue to stand in need of your prayers this morning. It's always a fearful thing to come up here, even if you've done it a number of times. You basic concern is that still you want to make sure that the Lord's people are given the truth and spared from false teachings and false gospels. And I pray I don't do that, and I pray the Lord always, either through me or in spite of me, will give you the blessing that He knows you need. I don't know. I know most of you here, I don't know what your needs are, what you feel inside, or your problems or cares of the world, but the Lord knows, and my prayer is that He will use whatever message I might have to bless you, and it'll be coming from Him and through Him. You know, I looked today, and I got up, and I've been watching the news this week, and, you know, some of the things that are reported in the news pretty regularly, and our world is in a pretty big mess right now. You know, it's just a lot of stuff going on right now that we cannot fix. It just seems like it's gotten out of hand on so many scales. Our brother Kenny talks about it from time to time. But, you know, just as we speak this morning, there's the largest hurricane ever hit the United States in size, the capacity of it, size of it. It's hitting right now in Florida. It's right over the mainland of Florida right now, or should be about this time. And it's got extremely heavy winds and heavy rain, and is going to create a tremendous amount of damage. And it's already claimed like 23 lives before it got to the U.S., and it's expected to claim a lot more, and quite a bit of devastation from that. That comes on the heels of Hurricane Harvey that we had in Texas. The hurricane was bad enough, but then it sat on top of the coast of Texas for several days and dumped up to 50 inches of rain, flooded people out. I mean, just tremendous flood, ruined a lot of things. People that weren't hit by the hurricane itself had their lives ruined because of the water and the flood. We've got Hurricane Irma going on right now, and it's followed by Hurricane Jose. It's on the heels of it, and hopefully it won't hit our mainland, but it's going to do a lot of damage to a lot of United States properties and lands. Out of those islands out in the ocean, and I'm sure take additional lives. In addition to that, Mexico this last week experienced a tremendous earthquake, 8.2 on the Richter scale, which is one of the largest ones ever, and they've had I don't know how many aftershocks, and that's killed and hurt a lot of people. It's hard to know, you know, how to address all these. The United States, of course, is coming in, and that's what Congress is debating, is an aid package of several billion dollars. The United States will have to give that to the people who suffered in Hurricane Harvey. I know we'll have to do one at least that big in Hurricane Irma, because it's going to be larger. By the end of the day, that hurricane will encompass the entire mass of Florida. It's that big. It's that large, 500 miles across. Everything within the first 75 miles is over 100 miles an hour wind. It's going to do a lot of destruction wherever that hurricane passes, and then it's going to wipe out a whole lot more. So I forget how many people they were talking about have already gone to shelter or left their home. So, and the government is going to try to come in and help, as it should, but we've already approved a $10 or $11 billion care package, and that's going to come again with Irma, and it's probably going to come again with some other things. Can we afford to do that? Can the United States afford to give that kind of money? We're already $19 trillion in debt. $19 trillion. I can't even comprehend how big that is. It's $260 billion a year in interest alone, that we're accumulating all the time and not paying any of it back. And you'd like to think we'd have some way to solve that, and yet our politicians are fighting in Washington. You look at the nature of politics today, and it's just everybody wants to throw up their hands and leave. We've got less participation now in government than we've ever had. We've got problems like we've never seen before, and we can't fix them. We don't have a fix for them. Democrats are fighting the Republicans and vice versa, and they've gotten where they're not going to do anything, even if it's a good idea, if the other party proposed it. They're doing everything for their own enrichment. They're doing everything so they can get their own reelection, and that's their primary goal, not taking care of the United States. We've never had the political infighting like we've had, I don't think, ever in the history like we have going on today. In addition to that, We've got one senator being tried for crimes he's committed. I think bribery, big one, and it's going on right now up in the Northeast. We've appointed a special prosecutor to determine whether officials at high levels have cooperated with a foreign government, foreign power, an enemy of ours to help impact what goes on in the United States, including our elections. Talked about the debt we've got in the country. We look at our personal debt, us personally. It's the greatest amount of personal debt we've ever had in our history. Credit cards are easy to get, and they're giving them, and their interest rates sometimes run up to 30%. We've got the highest level of personal debt ever in history that's causing problems on all of us. Let's talk about wars. I mean, the list just goes on and on. You know, we're involved in a war in Afghanistan and Syria, and we just sent 8,000 more of our good young men and women over there to defend it for a good reason, but it's a war going on over there that it's done in the name of God, of course, and it's causing us tremendous problems. We've got war going on there, Afghanistan, over in Syria. We've got the war on terrorism going. We never know when there's going to be a terrorist attack. It's like it's unending, the type of problems we have going on today, that we've never seen anything like that. And then even in our homeland, you know, we've got problems. Brother Kenny has addressed these from time to time about morals in this country. Our moral compass has seemed like it's gone away. Got a lot of problems with everything from pornography to drugs that are at the worst they've ever been in the history that we've seen. So I'm not trying to throw all the depression on you this morning, but we've got a lot of problems we can't fix. I mean, you sit here at home and you're going, I can't do anything about all of that. You know, it's terrible. You know, how are we going to do that? We've never seen anything. History, it's almost so big that we'd say God can't fix all the problems that we've got going on. And if you say that, I want you to stop and think about that for a minute. We have any way of fixing these problems? I can't fix them. You can't fix them. Do we have anybody that can fix these problems? Sure we do. Well, you know, why do these things happen if we've got a God that we want to think is so good and perfect? Why can't we fix them? He's never seen anything like this before, like we have in this day and age. He's never seen the weather problems like we're having today. Well, if I remember back in Genesis, there's a story about a big flood we had. Flood that encompassed the entire earth, not just the city of Houston or Harris County, but the entire world. Lord spared people in that, 8 people, and here we are. That flood killed millions of people, and yet we're back up to several billion people in the world again today. Well, he's not seen the wars that we have going on like we have today. There was a deal called the Civil War. It killed 600,000 people alone just fought in this country, more than we've lost in all the other wars. We had a World War II in which over in Europe they lost 11 million people were killed by Hitler and the Nazi regime that was in place then. Lord saw that, got us through it, got us past it. I don't think you can find anything we've got going on today that the Lord hadn't already seen and has already experienced. Everything you want to think of, you see all the weather problems we're having going on today. We had the great flood. We've had the great droughts back in the Bible. If you go back and look at the Bible, and you will see all the great droughts that we had. We had the plagues of Egypt, in which they were plagued with the water, the rivers turning into blood, plagued by locusts and lice and all sorts of leeches and things like that. They had lots of problems back then. They had lots of wars back then, greater wars, which had much more bloodshed than what we're seeing today. Nothing is going on today that God hadn't already experienced. We got political fights going on between the Republicans and the Democrats. Those two are never going to get along. We read the same law. We have the same Constitution, and yet they read it totally differently. One reads it from the left, and one reads it from the right. One reads it from conservative, and one reads it from liberalism. Well, back in England, they had what we call the Whigs and the Tories. Looked a whole lot like Republicans and Democrats. If you go over and look at the Muslim country, they've got the Shiites and the Sunnis. They both read the same Quran, the Muslim document about Mohammed, and yet there's one that interprets it liberal and one that interprets it conservative. If you want to understand the politics of today and what's going on in Washington, D.C., go back and study Matthew chapter 22 and Acts chapter 23, where you had the Sadducees and the Pharisees fighting. They both read the same Bible. One took a very liberal interpretation, one took a very conservative interpretation. There is nothing going on that the Lord hasn't already seen, hadn't already seen and hadn't already experienced and led us through. Why do we have these problems? Does the Lord cause these problems? The Lord's causing these problems. Our enemy is not Washington, D.C. Our enemy is not Mother Nature. Our enemy is not Russia or Iran or ISIS. Our enemy is not the guy that lives down the street with a gun. Our enemy is the same as it's always been, and that's Satan. Satan is the enemy. If there's any sin and problems in the world, they're the direct result of the work of Satan. Satan doesn't have to do his own work most of the time. We do it for him. He uses men to do his work for him and always has. The things going on scares me to death is the North Korea regime. That's crazy. That's over there. We've been involved in a nuclear war. Not only have we had these past ones, we may end up in a nuclear war because of the craziness of that country. North Korea is not our enemy. Satan is our enemy. Satan's caused every problem, every sin about the whole world. Sometimes when those happen, and sometimes when he does his work, good people have known to get hurt. Job was about as good as man you could find, and yet he suffered because of the sins of Satan and what Satan did to him. You know, we start worrying about these world things going on in the world. We start worrying about them, and you know, I do from time to time. I worry about everything going on in the hurricanes. I worry about everything going on in Washington, D.C. I worry about wars. I worry about North Korea. I worry about my getting myself and my friends, my family, and the personal debt that we get in. I worry about all the things that go on in the world. When I do that, when we do that, when we worry, Satan is smiling. He's winning. Is Satan going to win? No. He's not going to win. He cannot beat the Lord. He's certainly not going to beat him eternally. I hope you know that and well-grounded. That's the reason Christ died on the cross. He defeated Satan, period, forever on our eternal salvation. Satan's still around, and he's still working. I think that's what's clear. Everything going on in the world today is because Satan works in a manner that hurts us. Satan is our enemy. Not Washington, not Democrats, not Republicans, not Sunnis and Shiites, not North Korea. Satan. But the Lord has control of Satan. Lord always has a hedge around Satan and only backs up and lets him loose a little bit. Why does the Lord do that? Why does the Lord let him loose? You know, all this time, Brother Kenny's addressed this from time to time, church attendance is down. It's down in this church. It's down in churches everywhere. Not just ours, but all denominations, just church down. People are feeling pretty comfortable. Our lifestyle has gotten pretty good. In spite of all these things, we're feeling pretty good, and we don't feel the need of the Lord like probably we should. We take it for granted too many times. You know, when we have a tragedy like what's going on there, when we have the tragedies of war, suddenly people show up in church. People know that when you have a problem going on, you know, I may want to miss church this morning because I want to watch the Dallas Cowboys. I'm a big fan. Thank goodness they play tonight instead of during the Sunday morning this time. But I want to go watch the Dallas Cowboys. You know, and I may want to go watch the Red Raiders. I may want to stay up late on Saturday night and watch the Red Raiders. But, you know, when I get in trouble and when I see trouble coming, you know, and I need help real bad, watching Dallas Cowboy games is not going to help me one whit. You know, if I spend my Sundays doing that as opposed to coming and thanking the Lord, then I've made that my God. If I get in trouble, let me turn to that God and see what it does to me. What do you think Jason Carrett and Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott can do for me when I'm having trouble with my family or I've gotten cancer or I've gotten ills? Coming to the house of the Lord is going to help. And that's where we need to be, and that's where we need to turn to. You know, we can look at all these things and we get afraid. You know, and I do. I'm no different than you. My human nature comes out, and you know, I get afraid of what the idiot in North Korea is going to do. I get afraid of what the idiots in Washington are going to do. You know, and I see all this weather going on. And the Lord tells us his doctrine, though, is not one of fear. We don't have to be afraid when we remember the Lord's in control. He said he didn't give us a doctrine of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. If you're focusing on the problems of this world and getting worried and upset and afraid about them, then you're focusing on the wrong thing. We need to be focusing on the one person who can fix those, and that's the Lord. That's why we come to church. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we go to the Lord in prayer, because He has given us a direct road to Him. We got a direct channel to the Lord. I can pick up the hotline on the phone, call Him 24 hours a day, the one man that can fix it. Why does the Lord back off sometimes? Why does He back off and let these things happen? Why does He pull back on His hedge from Satan and let him do all these crazy things in the world? Well, why did He do it with Job? Why does He do it with anybody? Because when we get in trouble, that's when we unify, and that's when we come back to the Lord. It's when we see more prayers, people praying more. They know there are things of the world, the material things of the world don't do you any good. Everybody in Florida is losing material things of the world that they've accumulated. You don't lose what you have with the Lord. You don't lose your ability to go to the Lord at any time. You have the power of prayer, which we're told is is the most effective tool we have. When you see what's going on in Houston and the people are suffering, suddenly people show up, good Samaritans show up out of the woodwork, show up everywhere to go help them. It was bigger than the government could handle, and you had people showing up. You had a lot of people praying for them. Same way you do now with the hurricane going on in Irma. You see people showing up, and you'll see people showing up and helping there. They've already got 7,000 people now manpowered. The neighboring utilities from everywhere, a lot of them whom I work with, have already sent people down there that are sitting on the outskirts of where the zones are, ready to go in and help. They don't get paid to go do that work over there. They're doing it because they volunteer. They want to go in and help people. That's what you can do, and that's the doctrine of love and power. And when you go see people go down there, I was watching some of the TV in Houston, and ladies were coming out, and the men were coming out who'd been saved. And they said, "Who saved you?" I don't know. The Cajun Navy. You know, people showed over from Louisiana and rolled them out. They don't know who their names are. If you don't know who the name is of someone to help you, who do you think? Thank God. These crises, this trouble brings us together. And we have the Bible full of that. Whenever people get in trouble, it's when they turn to God and they realize how dependent we are in this crazy world on the Lord. We're not battling all the problems of the world. We're not battling any of those. All that come at us, we're not battling them. That's not our battle. Our battle is with Satan. And if we worry about those things and get caught up in them, all the politics and the wars and all that kind of stuff, then we're helping Satan win his battle. He's not going to win the battle eternally, but he'll do everything he can to make sure you lose your faith in the Lord today. That's his job. And he works at it good, and he's got some good schemes, and he works at it hard. And we got to be careful not to let him do that. We need to depend on the Lord. We need to come to this church on the Lord. We need to read our Bible. We need to pray. You know, I spoke about the threefold cord last time I was here, and that's so important. You know, when you have these times of crisis like this, as Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, when the winds come and the storms come, the person that has read the Bible and studied, they're like the man who builds his house on a firm foundation. Well, that's never true. Then when the hurricanes are coming on right now, the winds are blowing, those people who have built their house right to withstand the storm will withstand the storm. That's what's happening right now, and that's what we're told to do, is depend upon the Lord. We come and depend on the Lord, and He'll protect us. But we're not battling storms. We're not to worry about them. We have no control over them. I have no control over Washington. I have no control over North Korea. I have no control over the battle of the worlds. But Apostle Paul tells us in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, he goes off in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, beginning in verse 11, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God." I'm not going to go through this. Kenny's preached on this, and he does a lot better job on it than me. But I want to emphasize one thing that Apostle Paul says. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of politicians, the wiles of the Koreans, the wiles of the Russians." No, the wiles of the devil. That's who our enemy is in this world, is the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not fighting against Putin or that kid in North Korea or the ISIS or any of the terrorists or the hurricanes. I'm not wrestling against any of that, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle against Satan. It's inside each one of us to do that. It's inside of our leaders. It's inside of the leaders of the world. Now, I can't do anything about that. I can't do anything about them because I can't control Satan. He's a whole lot more powerful than me. But I can pray to God. Lord's given me a direct avenue to Him. Given me a direct avenue to go pray. Given me a direct avenue to do the things I can do to appeal to the Lord. And in doing that, you know what I have? I have power. And I have actually the love of God. And I have peace. I have a sound mind. That's what the Lord tells us. He said, I don't give you a doctrine of fear. If you're afraid of what's going on in this world, then you're buying into Satan's schemes. And you're helping him out when we get afraid. When we get afraid of what's going on, then we're helping Satan out. When you turn around and say, I'm going to turn that over to the Lord. I'm going to go to the Lord and pray and say, Lord, fix this problem. I don't know what to do. We don't know how to handle it. And it appears unfixable. Everything going on in the world today, we can't fix it. But Lord, you can. And we turn it over to Him, you know, and I stand up and I'm going, I feel better. I've got the power of prayer. You have it individually. You have the power of prayer to the man who can fix everything going on. Now, I can't fix it. If I did, I'd try to tell him how to fix it, and I'd pick the wrong way. But I can't fix it, but he knows how to fix each one of them. Go over and use another example in the ninth chapter of Mark. Y'all are familiar with this story. I think Brother Stephen may have preached on this when he was here. But we have a man here, beginning in the 17th verse. They have a man that came to Christ. He said, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. He's possessed of the devil. He goes on and tells him, when he taketh him, the devil tears him up. He foams, gnashes at his teeth, pines away. He said, I spoke to your apostles, your disciples, and they could not cast him out. He goes over here and he said, he's been tearing, he's grabbing, he wallows around, he foams at the mouth. He says, how long has he been doing this? He's been doing it all his life. I have a totally uncontrolled of this child. I can't fix him. Your apostles can't fix him either. And Jesus told him and says, well, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. Another one of Brother Kenny's lines. Do you believe in God? Sure. I think everybody shakes their head and say, yeah, you believe in God. All right. Do you believe God? You believe in God. Do you believe God? Do you believe Him when He says? When He says, all things are possible through me. He went over here in Genesis and he told Sarah, she said, I can't have a baby. It's impossible. It won't happen. And Lord said, Sarah, nothing's too hard for me. Nothing is too hard for me. He tells his apostles over here in Luke that things which are impossible with man are possible with the Lord. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. The Lord is saying he has the power. He is omnipotent, he is omniscient, and he's omnipresent. He's everywhere in the world. He knows everything that's going on, and he has all the power in the world to fix everything. Now, we see him sometimes, and I think maybe that's what's going on now. I'm not trying to second-guess the Lord or figure out what he's doing, but he'll pull back. He'll pull back. He did, we know, with Satan and Job. He pulled the hedge out from Satan and let him go after Job. Job was a good man, hadn't done anything wrong. We see, you know, bad things happen to good people. Job held his faith and stayed strong and kept looking to the Lord, even though all those comforters to him, including his own wife, told him, you ought to just curse God and die. And they said, what have you done wrong? What have you sinned? And he said, hey, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. That ought to be ours. There's stuff going on bad in the world. I'm going to praise the Lord. That's my job. That's where my power is. That's where I have power and you have power, is going to the Lord in prayer. And that's what Jesus told us. He said, if you canst believe, all things are possible through him that believeth. And the man looked at him who had the son that was sick and said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. That's where we are today. You get nervous about things going on in the world. My prayer to you is, help your unbelief. You need to believe that the Lord can fix this problem. And you need to go to him and ask him to. And he's going to fix it his way and his time scan. But he responds to prayer. Where it says his hand is not short that he can't help and can't save. And his ear is heavy, not heavy that he can't hear. He hears your prayer. And we know what praying together can do. It can work miracles. But Jesus answered him. Jesus says, okay. He says, then he went to the child that was sick and rebuked the foul spirit, saying, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried out, rent sore, and came out of him. And he was left looking dead. They thought the kid was dead. Jesus got the spirit out of him, but they all thought he was dead. And Jesus took him by the hand, raised him up. He was alive. Jesus got the spirit out of him immediately. And we see that's Satan. Satan and his angels are inside when there's a spirit in somebody. And he got rid of him, and you could tell all the times in here when Jesus eliminated spirits, Satan was there, and Satan was always afraid. Don't hurt us, Lord. Don't hurt us. Don't run me over the cliff. There's different examples where he's eliminated spirits. And each time when the devils come out of someone, they're afraid of the Lord. The Lord has complete control over Satan. He solved this problem because the man came to him and prayed and says, I believe you, Lord, but help my unbelief. We ought to be praying that, Lord, I'm scared. Help me. Help me with my fear about what's going on in the world today. Help me with all these things. Help me with my family. I can't solve this problem with my spouse, my father, my mother, my child. I can't solve these medical issues going on. Lord, I know you can. Help me understand you can fix this problem. Help me understand that I need to come to you and depend on you. You've got an ear that'll hear me, and you're ready to comfort me. We need to carry these problems to the Lord, because, again, when you do, then you feel the power. Then you feel his love, and he gives you a sound mind. After he cured this young man of his problem, his disciples came to him and says, why could we not cast him out? You know, they brought him to us, and we had the power to heal the sick, but why couldn't we get him out? Lord, you've given us that power. And the Lord answers him and says, some problems are bigger than others. He said, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. When you fast, it's a form of a prayer. It's a form of sacrifice to the Lord, fasting. Do we fast these days? I try to a couple times. I'm poor at it. I haven't done a very good job of it. I've tried several times. I find it very effective, very good, effective for me when I do. Prayer and fasting. Maybe our problems are great, that maybe we ought to pray and fast. Fasting's not that difficult. I mean, I don't have any specific fast to give you, but eliminate animal products. That'd be all kinds of meats, cheeses and breads, go with water, nuts and vegetables. That's a prayer, and that's easy. You can do that for a day. What it does, though, make yourself a prayer list and spend time praying to the Lord during that time. And the Lord feels good and loves you and appreciates the fact that you are sacrificing and dedicating that time to him. When you fast, you're actually dedicating the time to the Lord. It will focus you when you fast. Now keep in mind, Satan doesn't want you fasting. He'll try to get in your way and stop you. Every few times I've tried to fast, I'll do it in the middle of the week when I can, and I'll go, and I don't tell anybody I'm doing it. I'm trying to do it. The very day I choose to fast is the very day that somebody brings a box of Krispy Kremes to the office. Satan's not dumb. And you got to remember that. He'll try to get in your way, because if he can keep you from going to the Lord for our problems, then he wins. If he can make you afraid of the things of the world, then he's winning, and that's what he wants. He's our enemy. Not the Lord. Not the things of this world. The Lord's our friend, and if we carry to him, he will solve the problems of the world. With the problems we've seen sometime that are very effective, Brother Joe Holder this week kind of became concerned. I had this on my mind, and here he sent an internet out to a group of ministers, and I identified with it. And he said, you know, there's a lot of things going on wrong in the world today, and he would particularly talk about the hurricanes. Maybe we all need to spend time praying for them. We all need to be of one accord in praying. Go over in the books of Acts and see the power of the apostles and the church at Jerusalem when they got, it says they got together and prayed and became of one accord. We need to all be praying for the things of the world and all be praying for things that are going on. When problems get so bad, we need to pray, we need to fast. I brought with me today Hassell's History of the Church. It's a 1,000-page book, and it's real tiny print. Brother Dwayne and I talk about this from time to time. Great reading, great nighttime reading, but I mean, it's not a easy read, but you get caught up in it, and it's very interesting, and you find it good. I went back and looked in 1861, 1862. That was the start of the Civil War. Now, Mr. Hassell, who wrote this, lived in North Carolina, was a Primitive Baptist minister. His father, he was, and father and son wrote this book together. Wrote this book, and in 1861, we had a Civil War broke out. And North Carolina was right in the middle of it, and that's where the church was they attended. And they talked about the brethren, what great fellowship they had between North Carolina and Virginia and South Carolina. And now this war split them right down the middle. And they called, that summer, they called for a national day among Old Baptists, a national day of prayer and fasting. And they said, let's set it in either second, it depends on what year it was, second or third week of November. That's a week before Thanksgiving. Picked out a Thursday or Friday before that and said, we're going to call on all the churches to get together and let's everybody pray and fast on one day. Let's all be of one accord. They did that in 1861, 1862. Later on, learned in history, and it talked about how the war split up a lot of people. It didn't split up the Old Baptist. The Old Baptist stayed together. Even those people who had fought for the North and the South came back to church together and worshiped together. They talked about how close the brethren were, even through those states that were right there along Virginia and up into the northern states. And in fact, they had a couple of ministers from New York come down and preach in the North Carolina area after the war because they took their problems to the Lord. They didn't get afraid of what was going on, but they took their problems to the Lord. Go over here in John, 16th chapter of John, and we have another verse I'll get to you, and I want to close with a couple of these. Jesus talking in the 16th chapter of John, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, in that in me you might have peace. You know, we can get caught up in all, and we can get caught up and we can get depressed about everything going on in the world today. Like that whole laundry list I read this morning, trying to get you depressed a little bit, to show you this is more than we can handle. None of us can handle this, and it'll drive us batty and crazy if we get depressed. The Lord says, but in me, you have peace. You got a problem, personal, political, worldly, weather, whatever, bring it to the Lord. Because you have the power to take it to him. He has the power to fix it. And then he'll give you peace just by the fact that you give it to him. He said, these things I've spoken to you, and that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Oh, gosh, do we ever. Like I said, you know, for us, we think this is the worst times ever. I think the Lord is saying, depending on whether it's war or weather, whatever, I think the world's experienced even worse times than we're having now. But to me, I'm going, my gosh, I hate to see this world turned over to our kids coming up. How are they going to live with all this problems going on? All the moral issues and the drugs and the pornography. And as wonderful as the internet is, it's got trash on there for our kids. And I worry about all of that. That's not my worry. My worry, if I start worrying about it, Jesus tells us not to worry on the Sermon on the Mount, then I'm letting Satan get a handhold, get a fingerhold in me where he can hurt me. The Lord says, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good year. Excuse me, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Kind of hard for us, you know, when I want to be depressed, Jesus is telling me, be of good cheer. Whatever problem you've got, I've overcome the world and I can overcome your problems. James chapter 5, verse 16. Apostle tells us, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Your prayer is powerful. Not only is it powerful in the fact, especially when we do it together, the church at Jerusalem praying together in one accord, made the bars in the jailhouse open up over there. The Lord hears it, and he hears it when we pray of one accord. We've got the way to solve the problems of the world right now. We do. We've got the way to get past them now. Satan may go away, but he'll come back. He always does. We're told that. He goes away for a season. He comes back. He doesn't use any new tools. He uses the same tools. They keep working. He uses the same traits. He tempts men, the men that are evil in the world. He tempts them. Tempts them with power and greed and glory. Those type of things he uses the same temptations today that he always had. Same way with us. He's going to tempt us with worry, fix and problem. He's going to tempt us with our pride and our egos and our worry. I get out in this world and I do well. I'm successful and I think, I did that on my own. No, I didn't. I don't have anything on my own. The Lord has it all. Everything we do, we need to go to the Lord and be thankful for. We need to go to the Lord and ask him for help on. The Lord can give you the power and show you his love and give you the security of mind, the soundness of heart. James tells us, pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Proverbs, I'll end on this one. The Proverbs, I believe it's the 21st Proverbs, we're told, the Lord has the heart of the king in the palm of his hand. Now, if I'm worried about a leader in the world, I need to go read that. If I'm worried about the leader of Korea or Russia or Iran or Afghanistan, the Lord has their heart in his hand. He can turn them whichever way he chooses. That's what we need to go to the Lord. Lord, turn this situation in to your benefit, to your glory and your honor. We have a doctrine, and we believe a doctrine in this church that can help a lot of people. We got people not coming to church. People that are the Lord's people out here. I'm not saying they're members of Primitive Baptist Church, Old Baptist, but there's a lot of people whom our doctrine would do a lot of good. We could provide comfort to a lot of people. We need to be inviting them. Me too. We need to invite them to come. We need to invite them to come to church. You don't have to know the doctrine. You don't have to try to sell. You have to do what the woman at the well did when she went into town. She said, come and see. Come and let people see us worship. Come and let people see our fellowship. Come and let people see us eat together. Come and let people see us worship a Lord that says the Lord has already taken care of your eternal salvation. And if you'll pray to him, he'll take care of your salvation today and tomorrow. He'll save you from worries of the problems of this world. If you've got children problems or parent problems or kinfolk problems or spouse problems, the Lord can fix those. We preach a doctrine of power and of love and a sound mind. We don't preach a doctrine of fear. And that's what Satan does. Satan preaches fear. And that's what he'll have you believe. If you get worried about things of the world, then you're following right into Satan's hands, his grasp. And he's got the grasp of so many people in this world. There's a lot of people, a tremendous amount of people that fear this daily. They can come and hear our doctrine and get some satisfaction to hear the Lord's doctrine. All we do is preach it. We don't save anybody's soul. We don't help anybody. But we try to minister to the Lord's people. We should invite people to our church. Come, and you don't have to try to say, this is what we believe. Just say, come and see. We're not going to ask you to write your name down. We're not going to send you a letter. We're not going to ask you to come forward to make an altar call. Anything. Just come and see what we have to offer. We got a doctrine that could help people. It's not our doctrine. It's the Lord's doctrine. That's what we need to be doing. We need to tell people out there in the world, there's help and there's comfort in the church. Come be with the Lord's people. Hear the Lord's doctrine. Let him come down and appear with us like he does in this earthly temple. Because we can help a lot of people. We serve a wonderful Lord who has a remedy for all our worries and all our problems. All we got to do is go to him. He's taking care of us eternally. That's over with. But he can solve and give us comfort and security and peace today. I thank you for your kind attention. My prayers, the Lord will richly bless each one of you.